This is a Dese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios. Yo, what's up, everyone? This is Dese, host of the Social Hour and Drink and Debate podcast on PantsPending.com. I'm here to tell you all about Spokane's first underground comedy mixtape, featuring some of the Northwest's hottest young comics. It's going down live at the Bartlett in downtown Spokane at 228 West Sprague Avenue on March 15th at 8 p.m. Doors open at 7 p.m. and tickets are available now at thebartlettspokane.com. Advance tickets are only $10 and space is limited. You'll see 13 great comics such as Philip Kopczynski, Tony Russell, Greg Beechler, D. Abrams, Jared Munson, myself, and many, many more. So get your tickets now and be there March 15th at 228 West Sprague Avenue for the live Spokane Underground Comedy Mixtape recording at the Bartlett. We'll see you there. Hello, my gentle snowflakes. This is Dese. You know me as host of The Social Hour, but now you can find me every Tuesday hosting the brand new Drink and Debate podcast. The Drink and Debate is an improv comedy competition in which four teams of comedians from all over the Pacific Northwest face off for beer, glory, and the title of Master Debaters. Wait, what? For beer, glory, as they master debating. Shit. Master to debaters. It still sounds like I'm saying masturbate. Master did it. Son of a bitch. Screw it, we're doing it live. As comedians debate some things, so join us on the Drink and Debate podcast. Every Tuesday, you can find us on socialhourpod.com or on iTunes. And find the Drink and Debate live shows every month at the Spokane Comedy Club, hosted by myself and comedian Nick Cavassier. Go to SpokaneComedyClub.com for all the details. We'll see you there.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC. So if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
Like when you get the pepper, you have the one side where it's like sprinkle and the one that's poor, you know? You just the sprinkle of racism. You don't pour the racism. You just sprinkle racism.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Dese World Studios in Spokane, Washington, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, writer-director Michaela Daniels and special guest co-host, comedian Brandi Rohrenbach. And now for your host, that's me. Still upset because the Academy overlooked my documentary tribute to the life of George Michael at the Oscars last night. Dese Casillas. Malam Keen, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am your host, Dese Casillas, with you as always. Thank you for joining us for another great week. My little gentle snowflakes in the studio. Joining us tonight, we have Brandi Rohrenbach, special guest co-host tonight. How you doing, dear?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Fantastic. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate you being here. Traz is not here tonight. He is stuck in a snowstorm somewhere, digging crystals out of the ground or just be an adventurer. Traz lives like he's Indiana Jones. his lifestyle is like constantly Indiana Jones running away from that boulder coming at him in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, that's how I envision Traz's life every time I'm not with him. Just constant excitement. He's just like, throw me the idol and I'll throw you the whip. You know, just like constantly something happening with that guy. So he is, he's out doing more exciting things. But he'll be back next week. He's just got caught up getting back into Spokane. We've had some crazy weather here.
Yeah.
It's been a little out of sorts. I'm ready for winter to be over. I don't know about you. We've had just piles of snow in the Northwest this year, and I'm way over it.
Me too. But it gave us like a little taste of spring.
Yeah.
Like 2 days, we thought life was going to get better, and then you wake up and it's second winter.
Just back to crippling depression.
Yep.
It's been a long, hard winter. I'm on track to go to Belize in like 6 weeks.
Nice.
So I am hoping that works out as planned. I can have a little vacation. So I'm going to pre-record a couple shows for while I'm gone. I'm going to be gone. But I'm looking forward to that, to get rid of this spring or get rid of this winter doldrums. It's been worse because, like, so as some of you listeners may know, and Brandy knows also, I fell the other night a couple weeks ago because I'm old, and I slipped and I gave myself a concussion. Now I'm just like this old man every time I walk around, because I'm like shuffling. I'm just like, don't fall again, you'll die. Like, I already don't remember being 7. Like, who knows what could be gone next? Like, I'm risking my life. I'm like a Navy SEAL every time I go out of my house now. That's how much I'm risking my life. I feel like I'm just going to fall and die.
Is there like an age limit on life alert? Like, do you have to be a certain age before you can have it?
Like, I want to wear a helmet or something like that. I talked to my doctor again recently, and he's like, yeah, it can take a long time to heal. He's like, it can take weeks, 2 months, he's like, to get back to baseline. And then he said this super comforting thing.
Yeah.
Some people never get back to baseline. I'm like, well, fucking thanks, doctor. Like, what? I appreciate your efforts, you know, way to make me feel better. Mm-hmm. Like, it's does everyone who gets the flu, are you like, you'll be fine in a couple, you know, about a week? Of course, some people die from the flu. So maybe, you know.
No, I had the same thing happen. I went in and I figured it was just a cold, you know, or some type of infection. And so they took like an x-ray of my lungs and stuff. And while we're waiting, he's like, well, it could just be a simple infection, or you could have a blood clot. And I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
Now I'm dying. That's on top of everything else that's wrong in my life.
Now, it could be a blood clot. You might have breast cancer.
Let's just make a list of all the things that could be wrong.
Okay, let's take away the things it's not, okay? Let's go by that. It's not prostate cancer, that's for sure. We thanks, doctor. I actually tell this story on stage now, but like a couple years ago, a couple years ago, I was sick for a while, and just like not sick. Just like my stomach like was screwed up, and like my whole biorhythms were off for a while. Like everything was kind of out of whack. I'm pretty in tune with my body. And I'm like, something's going on, you know? So I went to the doctor and they couldn't really figure it out. And they gave me this whole blood workup thing and all this stuff. And like, oh, well, you know, we'll call you if there's anything, but otherwise, you know, whatever. Well, like 9 days goes by. No, I've heard nothing. So, like, you know, eventually I'm like, well, no news is good news, right? That's great. You know, no, you don't want to hear from it. Like, you don't want the next day to be like, you should probably come into the office right away. We need to talk to you. You know, like, that's a bad sign. You want to hear nothing. So I like 9 days later, I finally get a call. And it's the nurse, and she's like, well, we've called in some prescription medication to the pharmacy for you to go pick up. And I'm like, whoa, wait, for like what's going on? And she's like, well, you've been diagnosed with H. pylori. And I'm like, whoa. Like,
what is that?
I haven't been to the Philippines recently. What is this H. pylori? Like, I had no idea what it is. She just like threw it out there so casually. Like, yeah, you've been diagnosed with H. pylori. So just, you know, you're going to need to go pick up this medication. Like, back to the train. I'm like, what? Okay, what is that? I'm like, I don't know what that is. She's like, oh, the doctor didn't talk to you about this? I'm like, no, the doctor did not talk to me about this. So she goes, well, let me transfer you over to the doctor, see if we can get a hold of him. And he gets on the phone, and I'm like, yeah, so what's this H. pylori? Like, I don't know. I'm like, do I have to have a conversation with my girlfriend? Do I need to start calling past sexual partners or something like that? Like, and... he's like, oh yeah, it's just a stomach virus. It's pretty common. So, and I'm like, well, fucking thanks, doctor. Like, you could have just said, like, you got a tummy issue. You were going to take care of it, you know? And my whole head is is he that bad with the, like, does that terrible doctor-ness go the other way? Does he call his other patients and he's like, yeah, you don't have to worry about taking your medication anymore. And like, oh, good. So I'll be fine. So I don't have to worry. I'll be fine. They're like, oh no, it's totally terminal. The medication won't help at all. Like, it's just a waste of time.
Just pauses in the wrong places.
Just has no idea how to deliver news to people. Like, holy shit. But yeah, I'm trying to survive. The older I get, the more ailments happen. And now I understand how people like die from pneumonia. Or like, they're like, you know, old people are like, well, he died from a canker sore. And you're like, oh, shit. Like, how does that happen? And now that I, at this age, I start to realize how quickly things add up. I was sitting down to start thinking about this today's episode and what I want to talk about. I'm like, what's happened this week? I always talk about stuff for my week. And I'm like, I don't really remember a lot of this week.
It was a rough week.
A rough week?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you want to talk about it?
I guess so. What part do you want to talk about?
You don't have to. It was a fun week. We got to do your show.
Oh, yeah.
The Laugh in Order Saturday at the Observatory. That was a fun show.
Yeah.
It went well. Should be happening again in March, hopefully.
Yeah. I was really excited about this one.
Yeah.
I thought Matt Slater killed.
Matt Slater was great.
Oh, my goodness. That was funny. When he was talking about his kid that had the upper respiratory disease, like, I was laughing so hard.
it's a good show. So for everyone, if you don't know, Brandi Rohrbach runs the Comedy Conservative. So go to Facebook, like that page, follow it. Excuse me. There's lots of shows coming, stuff in the works. Can't quite talk about it yet, but there's stuff in the works that's going to be coming out soon. So check out that. And as usual, go to Facebook, follow Pants Pending Studios, check out all the shows on the network, follow them, like them. Real quickly, we'll talk about, we've got some dates coming up too, guys. Lots of stuff happening. If you're within earshot of where the show is recorded, in Spokane, Washington, you've got a ton of comedy coming your way. On Sunday, March 5th, I will be hosting the Drink and Debate live show at the Spokane Comedy Club at 315 West Sprague Avenue. Tickets are available now at SpokaneComedyClub.com, or you can contact me on Facebook or the Social Hour Podcast Facebook page. And I am currently giving away free tickets to that show, so you can hit me up and get to those. We are also looking for a logo. So if you want to win two free tickets to every Drink and Debate show for the rest of the year, as well as a chance to guest judge one of the upcoming shows, shoot us a logo. If we pick your logo to use on merchandise, you will win that prize. Also, March 6th, that's a Monday, at the Pin, that's 412 West Sprague Avenue. We are doing Comedy Confessions. We have three great comedians that are going to be talking about their jail tales, telling you some tales from jail and what has happened to them. That's a fun show. And lastly, on Wednesday, March 15th, at 228 West Sprague Avenue at the Bartlett, we are recording Spokane's first underground comedy mixtape album. So come join us there. You can go to the Bartlett Spokane, get tickets. They're just $10. Spaces limited, so be there. There are 13 comics that are going to be on that show. That's going to be an awesome show. So we're looking forward to that. 13 comics, and I'll be there also. I'm going to tell some jokes. Looking forward to that, but check out all that stuff, guys. And lots of stuff. It's been a lot of I feel like a lot of the smaller stuff's coming back around in Spokane.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I think you know, everyone loves the club, but the smaller shows are starting to come back a little bit.
Yeah, it seemed like it died. Everything outside of the club seemed to die down for a while when it first opened.
Yeah,
it was like that was the main focus, and now there's some things picking up.
Yeah, it's nice to see. There's, I look at my calendar and I'm like, God, almost every night of the week I have something I'm doing or want to go see.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. with comedy. And it's really hard because I have friends or people who want to do things. And I'm like, yeah, I have like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm like Friday nights. I'm like, I go home and just rest and see my dog. And she's like, hey, good to see you tonight. I pretend I have a dog and don't be a terrible dog owner for once. Like, we'll go on a walk tonight. And that's it. Because I don't love you. No, I love her. She's great. Although I put her outside. She's a little crazy. I got to get her a doggy friend. That's going to happen soon.
Yay. Another doggy.
Another dog. Well, soon. I'm going to move here in a couple months, and I'm going to get a place with a bigger backyard for him. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be nice.
Yeah. So let's see. What time is it? Okay. Yeah, we've got Michaela Daniels coming in here a little bit. She's a local writer, director, filmmaker. Looking forward to seeing her, talking to her. What I didn't realize when we booked her for this show is that last night was the Oscars, mm-hmm. like conveniently. I'm like, oh, great. That'll be perfect. We can talk to her about movies because I know she'll have an opinion on that. Are you a big movie watcher?
I am, but nothing like made in the last 15 years.
Like, anything,
made like pre-92. Like,
I feel like that was more than 15 years ago. You may have lost a few years in
maybe.
There.
Who knows? I still can't come to terms with how old I am.
Right? How does it happen? What was I telling? This is my memory again. I was telling some story to someone today, and I'm like, this is what I do, what I was doing in my free time the other day. And I go, I feel like this is not what, when I was a kid and looked at adults my age, mm-hmm. I thought they had their shit together.
Yeah.
Like people who are 34, I'm like, that person's got it together.
Uh-huh.
And then me at 34, I'm like, I'm going to get irresponsibly drunk and tell dick jokes to these people at this shitty bar. Like, that's what I'm going to do. Like, oh, relationship, kids, that sounds like adult stuff. Wait, hold on. Like, you're an adult. Get your shit together. I don't like the most adult thing I do is like drink a smoothie for breakfast. I think I have like a protein. I have like an Ensure for breakfast.
Yeah.
That's my bread. That's the most adult thing I actually do in life.
I'm not healthy at all. Like today I've had a Red Bull. Like
that's it?
That's what I've had today.
Oh my God.
I'm always busy. And yeah, I'm bad. Well, I'm good at the adulting side as far as like budgeting and I have all of that stuff together.
Right.
But it's like, I have weird anxiety about things that are just stupid. I was talking to my friend today and I was like, do you ever have one of those realizations where it's like you might be a prostitute, but not in the sense that it's like, you know, I'll give you a blowjob for so many drinks at the bar. More of like, I'm terrified to go inside a government building, so I'll have a 6-month dysfunctional relationship with you if you'll buy my car tabs. Like that type of thing.
That's an oddly specific analogy.
Now you know what happened. Like, no, I'm just kidding. That's not
very,
what happened.
Very specific scenario you just painted. I mean, you know, usually that's really...
Yeah. So just I'm not emotionally an adult. I don't even know. If I had to like guess an age, maybe 17.
17?
Yeah.
God, I don't know. Because I have my moments where I'm just like, I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to do anything. I just want to stay at home and, you know, read my newspaper, you know, see what, yeah. But then other times I'm just like, I'm just the most juvenile person ever. I'm just like, fart jokes are the best. You know, like, how many times can I talk about masturbation? And I'm going to laugh every time. Yeah.
Oh. Maybe it's just like a myth. Maybe you never become an official adult.
It just never actually happens.
Yeah, it never does. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Well, yeah. Like, I don't know how to. I just, because I live my life, like, I just want to entertain myself all the time. And, like, the stupidest things. It cracks me up, and it's such a terrible joke. But over Halloween, around that time, I was at a bar, actually at the Observatory, if you live in Spokane. I was there and they had some candy out. And I look at the bartender and I go, is this candy complimentary? And she goes, yeah, it is. And I go, well, that explains why it said I had nice eyes. And she just looks at me like, are you fucking retarded? And It just cracked me up, and I'm like, don't. And then our a mutual friend of Brandon, ours, Alex, comes up, and I go, Alex, like, let me ask you, like, let me ask you a question. Is this candy complimentary? And he's like, I think so. You know, well, that explains why it said I had nice eyes. And he just starts laughing, like, thank you. Thank you.
He gets it. Yeah, he gets my car.
Like, yeah, like, don't laugh at that, though. That's not funny. That's stupid. But, like, it's not.
At least you're trying to have fun.
Right.
You know, as long as you're trying to have a good time at the end of the day.
But when my dad was my age, he had 3 kids, like, a house, a career, and, you know.
That's the problem, is they told us we could have dreams.
Right. We dreamt Dallas for dreaming.
I know. If we would have just been told that you, like, go to school until you go to the factory, my life would be so much simpler.
Right. Don't dream about anything.
Like, now stamp that out. Yeah.
Right. Now all I have is a crippling alcohol problem and commitment issues.
Because they told me I was special when I was little.
Right. This is what you did to me. God, I've got no... Yeah, I've got nothing.
I have, like, no idea what I'm doing, and it's even worse when you have a child.
Sure.
Because it's, like, just recently, like, oh, it was probably, like, 6 months ago, I made my first, like, really big parenting mistake, I feel like. And we had gotten a puppy.
Like, whoops, that's gonna sting for life. That's an eating disorder for sure.
No, oh, actually, we got a puppy, and then we took it out to, like, for a walk in, like, a wooded area and stuff. And when we came back home, there was a tick on the dog.
Okay, I thought you were going to say
no. We didn't kill the puppy.
It was going to get way worse.
Choked it out.
Like, we went, and then I drowned it in the river, and I said, everything you ever going to love is going to die.
And then, life lessons. Now we're going to go watch Toy Story 3. But no, so there was a tick on the dog, and I just, you know, picked it off with something, because it hadn't got in it yet.
Yeah.
So I picked it off with a piece of toilet paper, flushed it down the toilet, and my daughter, who was 4 at the time, wanted to know what a tick was.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, learning moment. Let's watch, like, a little video. Let's watch a video on YouTube about what ticks are. And as soon as she knew that they, like, burrowed to drink your blood, like, she lost her mind.
Yeah.
And it was, like, 3 months of, like, the tick being everywhere. Yeah. And the thing is, how do you tell a child that, like, ticks are on common when there was one on the dog? Like,
right.
She's like, you're full of crap, mom. Yeah. I saw that.
She's like, I've only been alive for 47 days, and, like, 3 of those were tick related. Okay, then my odds are not good right now. Like, I'm no mathematician.
Talk about it every day, and it was always in the bed, is what she thought. Oh man, it was more a punishment for me, because then she wouldn't sleep for, like, ever.
Right.
But yay.
Explain, like, no, you're more likely to get abducted by a stranger than have it. Oh shit, that's
actually
not
a
better
family member.
Yeah, like, yeah, statistically speaking, it'll be your uncle. You know, watch out, they're shifty. It's always the ones you think you can trust, so what do you do there, right?
Oh goodness.
Yeah, it's teaching the next generation. I don't know, I think they're gonna, I think we've got, yeah, it's gonna be worse,
like, definitely 100%.
There's no, especially since there's no, like, well, maybe not, because they're all just going to be in, like, their own little, like, panic rooms, like,
yeah,
just texting each other. Like, there'll never be any contact. Like, everyone's going to be their own bubble boy, you know? there's no, you know, human contact. People, like, reproduce asexually, you know? It's just like... people just, like, masturbate into a thimble from someone, like, a picture of, like, some pansexual,
just like an Xbox with a pleasure hole,
right? Yeah, exactly.
No reason to go outside ever again.
just download. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it'll be like, hey, I'm fucking my avatar in here. What do you mean, go outside, please? Beat it, old man.
Oh, yay.
Yay, kids, right?
Yes, definitely.
So, I'm going to pull this up. I've got something I want to listen to, though, because this made me feel young again for a moment.
Okay.
Tell me if you've heard this song. So, this is, like, my only, because I don't listen to a lot of music or, like, new music at all. And it's rare that I hear new music that I like. But I heard this song, and let's, I gotta get past this. Ooh, King Kong. is the sorry, I'm getting a trailer here. tell me if you've heard this song.
Yes, I have heard this song.
Isn't it fun though?
It's pretty fun.
I don't know. The like it made me feel young again for a minute. I'm like, oh wait, I'm hip, and I'm like, no, I'm not.
As long as I never see you with a fedora, I'm okay. Are you like, holy crap, I have three of those.
I have three fedoras. I'm more of a bowler cap type of guy, to be honest with you. You know, I wear a bowler cap and I put an apple over my face and I just be ironic all day. But for a moment, I felt like I was not old anymore. Have you heard of this band before, Fits in the Tantrums, though?
I've heard of them, but I wouldn't know any other songs, probably.
So, I don't know any of the other songs besides one that I found a couple of years, like, it was a big song a couple years ago, which is, like, a wildly different song, and I wondered if they became, like, this is their kind of, like, we're gonna be, like, this is when it kind of kicks in here for me. Like, actually kind of becomes music a little more than, like, a club thing. Yeah, see, it's pretty catchy, right? But when I hear this, like, I hear this in my car, I'm like, this is fun. If I hear this at a bar, I'm like, I'm too old for this. You know? There's a difference. Like, I can be like, I can make a hand clap when I'm in my car to get alone, but then, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not, like, a bar or club scene person. Like, I just go, I'm just the bitter friend.
Right.
You know, like, every time there's a group of women, there's the bitter friend.
Right.
That's Brandy.
You're just in the corner. Fuck this. I'm out. I'm really, like, a lounge guy.
Yeah.
Like, I want, like, soft jazz and, like, red velvet, like, tufted back seat, like, you know, wrap around, like, booth.
Yeah.
And, like, a brandy snifter and a cigar, you know?
There you go.
Like, that's what I want in my life.
See, my two closest female friends are really into, like, the country bar scene, like, swing dancing. I don't have that much emotional energy. Like, I can't deal with that much plaid or that many people trying to touch you. Like,
I realize in general I'm just dead inside. I was with a group of people the other day and we were talking. This guy was talking about how one of his buddies just died, like, OD'd the night before. And he was, like, getting really emotional, and everyone else is like, oh, like, I'm sorry, dude, that's hard. Like, and I'm just like, what should I have for dinner tonight? Like, I already had pasta last night. But I get some leftovers, right? The leftovers, I reheat them. I guess if I put some extra red sauce on, it won't be as dry tonight. I start thinking about, like, my friends, and I'm just like, I mean, like, I don't want them to die. But, like if they died, I'd be like, that's just someone I never see again. There's lots of people I never see again.
Oh, my God.
Like, most people in life I never see again, you know? I can't be sad about all of them, Brandy. They're just, you know, like, the cashier at the Big Lots in Willamette. Like, I'll never see her again. Me and Crystal never see her again. I can't be sad about it, you know?
I don't know how I feel about that, but that's okay.
It was a very wow moment. Like, you and I'm just like, I'm pretty fucking dead inside. Like, that's a real thing. Like, I make jokes a lot, but, like, I guess that's a person I won't see anymore. That was my feeling.
I've just reached that point where I'm like, none of this matters. There is no afterlife. We're all going to die anyway.
Right. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah, basically.
What do you want for dinner? Fuck you. Who cares?
Red Bull.
Jesus Christ. All right. Well, this is the other Fits in the Tantrums song. That is a really good song. This is a song that made me really... hold on. I'm going to play another video, some other commercial. I need to get... I invest in YouTube Red. This is like when they were like really musical.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I've heard this one.
This is a great song, actually. A little soulful. You know what I'm saying? This almost makes me feel something. I think that's why...
Almost. Oh, I have heard this song, yes.
This song rocks.
I listen to 90s like exclusively.
Ace of Base.
I love Matchbox 20.
The tracks.
I'm so obsessed with them. The music I can't take is techno.
Oh God. It sounds like a fucking, it sounds like a robot whale humping a Roomba. Like, I don't want to fucking know what.
And then they have that, like, festival. Is it called Paradiso or whatever?
Oh.
Out at the gorge for 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather spork my own eyeballs out and eat them.
I don't do enough drugs anymore.
Is that what's missing?
Yeah,
because
it's
all
the
of
drugs.
These people are like, this is so cool. I was like, I've tried, and
right.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it's like reggae music. Everyone's like, reggae music is great. I'm like, no, reggae music blows. If you've heard one fucking reggae song, you've heard them all. It's all the same.
Tinkling
it's the
on
same.
That stupid
yeah.
drum.
Like, great. I have a steel drum. Awesome. And you're fucking, yeah, weed. I get it. Free everyone. Peace, loving. It's like, but everyone's like, no. But listen, you know, if you're on the beach, you know, 90 degrees in the Caribbean, drinking rum out of a coconut, getting your dick sucked, like, yeah, anything's great then. Fucking, you know, the Holocaust would have been great if you put it behind that setting. It sounds awesome. Yeah, fucking kill the Jews, put more in the oven. I'm getting my dick sucked over here with coconut. What do you want me to do? Like, that's, everything sounds awesome then.
Yeah, I don't get reggae music either.
God, but like, yeah, any festivals, I can't do live music, so I'm always like, listen, I can only fist pump for so long before I'm over it. It's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. I'm like, I just stand here, and then, like, there's like, I'm like, I can go home and listen to this album without you assholes. I don't need to pay $80 to get sweaty and, you know, next to you people I don't like.
I don't like to be touched by strangers.
Right.
So it's just like, no, we are too close.
Yeah.
I mean, stay home.
I can have a glass of fucking Chardonnay in my living room and listen to this CD for under $7. Okay? Like, I don't need to have a shared experience with you people. We've already determined I'm dead inside. I don't need you.
Yeah.
And I don't do enough drugs anymore for that. I don't do drugs ever anymore. Yeah. I should start again.
I've only ever been to one concert at the Gorge, and it was Dave Matthews. And like the whole experience I was turned off by. I saw a woman with just
because it was Dave Matthews.
Well, it was just she had two pieces of electrical tape over her nipples, and that was like pretty much like the extent of the outfit.
Did you ask her if she had a safe word also?
I was like, what the hell is going on?
Like, why at that point, why even the electrical tape?
Yeah, why not,
like,
just be topless?
Just go for it. Like, no one here is going to be like, ma'am, this is a family. Like, you know, could you please put your electrical tape back on? This is a family establishment.
I didn't know how it worked, so I didn't know you were supposed to sneak in liquor in your purse and all of your crap. And then I got there, and it was like $9.50 for a can of beer, and I was I'm never coming again.
Yeah,
like, this
terrible.
Is ridiculous.
Ow.
And that was probably 10 years ago, so God, who even knows now?
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. All the loud, annoying music, and I just don't get... And that's how I know I'm old. I don't get it. I'm just like, I don't, it's not fun. There's nothing fun about it. It's just too loud and too much. And I hate not being able to hear people.
Yeah.
Like, because people, no matter how loud it gets, people still want to try to talk to you.
Yes.
Like, are you not at the same concert I'm at? Like, I can't hear you. Anything you say, you can scream right in my ear. Eventually, I'm just nodding my head and being like, you know,
yeah,
like, they could be screaming like, we should murder our parents tonight and have a suicide pact. What do you think? And I'm like, sure, totally. Sounds great. I don't know what you just said. I could have just agreed to anything.
I don't like any large gathering of people. I hate the fair. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, and every year you go because there's like nothing else to do on a Sunday in Spokane.
Every time the fair is in town, I'm just like, somewhere there's an empty Walmart. There's sad.
You go there for the funnel cake and to bitch about it, and
yeah,
that
is
the
is
extent
terrible.
Of the fair.
I think how everyone goes there with expectation. Everyone goes there like, the fair's so dumb. We're just like, we're like ironically going to the fair. This is stupid. Who would go to the fair? Let's just go make fun of these people. Oh, stupid fair food. And then like an hour later, you're on the tilt-a-whirl being like, this is like, woo! Woo!
The Toaster Roll's my favorite.
Let's go get another fried pig ear and smoked turkey leg for $87.
Then you can watch those pigs run around the
right,
track.
Yeah. I always wanted the bird flu.
Every year I would go with people, though, like a group of people, because I've lived in Spokane since I was like 2.
Sure.
And every year they constantly claim that the fair is getting worse.
Yeah.
And I was like, how is it any worse? There was a tractor, a mobile home, and a llama. Like, right. what more do you want? It's the same like, thing
what
every
did you,
year.
What did you think was going to happen? What was your expectation when you went to the county fair?
Like, ooh, this year they're going to have somebody important. No, right. never.
Like Obama's going to come and he's going to do a juggling act, like a chainsaw juggling act while Willie Nelson plays in the background. I don't understand what you think you're getting when you go to the fair.
And then I dated a guy that was really into the rodeo.
Oh,
there's
boy.
Nothing wow. worse than the freaking rodeo. Like, I would do anything before I would do that.
The only reason people should want to watch the rodeo is the same reason people want to watch NASCAR for the crashes. I just want to watch Cowboy get gored. Like, that's the only reason I would ever want to be at the rodeo. It should just be called, like possibly puncture a sternum. Like, that... Like, that's the only thing
I'm going
for. You're
just hoping for him to get the clown
yeah.
the whole time.
And those goddamn pussies wearing the face masks now. Like, they at least before they were men. All right, I'm pissed now. Before they were at least goddamn men and just went out there in their goddamn Wranglers and a cowboy hat and some fucking intestinal fortitude and got on that goddamn bull and said, do your best. Now... They put on, like, a fucking Teflon Kevlar vest, got one of those bomb suits, like they're in the fucking, like, looking for IEDs in Iraq. And then they put a cowboy hat on top of it. Like, you fucking dickwad. Like, you're in, like, a hazmat suit, and you put a cowboy hat on top of it? What the fuck is wrong with you? And then they go jump on the cow. It's like some sort of, like, it's like literally some sort of, like, futuristic space cowboy. Imagine if aliens came down and like aliens came down from another universe and they got to the rodeo and there's some guy in fucking like a Mylar like a Teflon coated suit and a cowboy hat riding a bull like what the fuck is wrong with these people? Like I thought, who are these people? Like no wonder they haven't made it to other planets. They're still like just This is
they have their safety gear on for bull riding. Right.
They're never going to get to the like Nebulon 3 riding that creature. Like,
but you know what's weird though is like how much I hate the rodeo, but I love when a drunk chick gets on the mechanical bull. At the
oh,
bar.
For sure.
Like, that's my favorite part
it's
of the night.
A disaster
night.
Waiting to happen.
I like to guess what color thong she has on because we're definitely going to see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's only a period of time.
It's only a matter of time before that dress goes overhead and she goes flying off
there
the bull.
There should be a rule that if you are too drunk to get on the bull without help, like you just shouldn't be allowed on. Like I've seen so many like friends trying to pick up the chubby
right.
one and put her on the bull. Like, oh my God.
There should be a. You know what? I think it should just be a breathalyzer. Because yeah. you got to blow in the bull's horn. It's like. And then it beeps.
And then I don't know if it still run the same way. Because it used to be Big Al's. Did it open up as anything else out of the state line?
Oh, I don't think
it's anything now.
I don't know.
But yeah, when I first turned 21, like Big Al's was the place to be. And we go out there and the guy that operated the mechanical bull, like if he didn't like the way you looked when you got on it, he'd just spin you off real quick. But then the ones with like the big boobs, he'd bounce them. Like sure. he'd put the bull at the angle.
There's a method to the madness.
Yeah. It's like, well, at least your job's entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Well, nothing like drunk chicks. It's pretty amazing the things people do. Like, this is a good idea. I need to do, you know what I need to do? I need to drink here responsibly. And then get on a mechanical animal that might give me whiplash.
I never really did that. Like, I was already married, like, when I was 21, so we never did, like, the bar life, and also I never really house party because I was unpopular in high school. So, like, all of my drunk stories came from camping. That was, like, our thing.
Yeah.
When you go camping, you get drunk for 4 days.
Hell yeah.
I hope you make it out alive.
Some of being outside and camping and drinking, it's really freeing.
Yeah.
It's, like, truly American, you know?
That is true.
Like, I feel like, you know, if there were some Native Americans around here, I'd probably steal their land. It's my right. It's my rights as an American. You're like, I get it now. It's true.
I found this. It's mine now.
Right. I'm going to cover these blankets in smallpox and just leave them around the woods. Maybe kill a buffalo or a whole herd of them for no reason. Getting drunk, camping is like the only time it's like perfectly acceptable to have a beer with breakfast.
Yeah,
like I'm gonna crack this tall can of Steel Reserve with my eggs and drink all day. Mm. Oh God, I haven't done
now
that.
Now I miss camping. It's never gonna be summertime here.
No, I know.
It's gonna snow forever.
It's we're in this weird place where like it's in the summertime. Like, when I grew up in California, it's like 77 degrees all year round.
Yeah.
So, like, there's not these seasons where things are dedicated to them. Where, like, in the Northwest, you're like, oh, it's summertime. We got a party. Sun stays up till 10 p.m. It's hot out. We're going to go camping. We're going to drink all day. We're going to go to the lake and have fun. And then you have, like, these spring and fall, like, little in-between times, and then this long chunk of winter where you're, like, nothing but to do is sit around and drink.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, no wonder everyone here has, an alcohol problem.
Yeah.
Like, they should just be, like, there's more DUIs and people killed in car crashes, like, alcohol-related car crashes, but unfortunately, you can't harvest any of their organs because all their, like, livers are all emaciated.
Around February is like a 50-50 chance everyone I know has a DUI.
Oh, yeah.
They've just given up.
They say Washington State has one of the highest DUI per capita ratios. Like one in four people in Washington State has a DUI or something like
it's
that.
It's just terrible outside. Like when you go out and then there's nothing plowed. Like we had to wait until Mother Nature washed the snow away before I could see the street in front of my house.
The one thing I like about winter, though, if you're a drunk driver, I always say it's the great equalizer because no one can tell if you're drunk or just it's snowy. You're like, I'm Tokyo drifting over here, motherfucker. It's not me. It's the snowy as shit out here. I could crash into a lamppost and be like, that shit happens. And, I could run over like a special needs child and be like, I get it. It's winter. Like, no, I was fucking hammered. I was like,
watch out for Deese. He's mowing down special needs children.
I'm drinking just in case I see one. Coming for you, kid.
Oh, yes. But hopefully it'll stop snowing before the end of March.
Oh, God.
I hope so.
I think we're hopefully coming to the end, I think. So, but, all right. Well, I think we're going to take a quick break here. Our guest will be here any moment. So we're going to take a short break, guys, and we'll be right back with writer, director, filmmaker extraordinaire, Michaela Daniels.
Stop looking at me in the eye when I'm talking. I'm a celebrity! I'm Burr Martin from the Burr Martin Experience. Never heard of me? You remember a while ago when every time you opened up your internet browser, there was some chubby dude in a white tank top making fun of his daughter's selfies? Yeah, it was me. So the good news is I'm hosting a podcast, which is audio. That means you don't have to look at me. I'm also a geek and have been into comics for as long as I can remember. So as the internet dubbed me Selfie Dad, I'll be talking to parents and kids about growing up, being geeks, and how they got to be where they are now. Look, it's only an hour every other week, and since my wife is listening, the podcast is kid-friendly and family-approved. Let's call it your PG-13 podcast, but I should probably say a little more Bad News Bears and a lot less Shark Boy and Lava Girl. So look for the Burr Martin Experience every other Sunday night where you can find me on panspending.com, iTunes, or wherever quality podcasts are found. Yeah, every other week. What am I, a machine? Quit looking me in the eye! I see you doing it! Where's my brown M&Ms? Just the brown ones.
Hi, I'm Ash.
Hi, I'm Steven.
I write fan fiction.
I'm a podcaster and a comedian, and neither of us
have seen a lot of movies, so we decided to get caught up
on our catalog of movies, and while talking about it,
I decided that we should podcast all of it.
And now, 2 years later, we're still at it.
And we're kind of a little bit more professional than ever. He wants to touch the
hiney.
Cranston, the one that knocks,
that is,
and the one that sends the Power Rangers have to go touch things.
He wants to get vertical on the Limbo Shack.
What the?
She is your soulmate because the Lord has told me.
What? What? He wants to jump through that tent and into the canyon and fly away while holding a ketchup bottle. I don't know how it works.
He wants to Left Eye Lopez for Destiny's Child.
So join us every Monday on iTunes, Stitcher,
or here on the Pants Pending Studios podcast network,
which you can find at pantspending.com.
This week in Deece Nuts. There may be better martial artists than Master Wei Yaobin, but few are ballsier. Where other fighters take it on the chin, he takes hits in the crotch, repeatedly. Master Wei is considered one of the world's best practitioners of Iron Crotch Kung Fu. It's a relatively obscure form of martial arts in which combatants learn to build strength and endurance by subjecting themselves to strong blows in the groin area. This is not unlike the American Tinder Kung Fu, where men do online dating and take repeated blows to their ego. And that's this week in Deece Nuts.
Hey, did what's your name get out to you yesterday?
Deece Nuts!
And we're back, guys. Thanks for hanging out through that quick commercial break. As always, go check out all the shows on Pants Pending Studios. Like the Facebook page. Go to pantspending.com. We've got some great new shows. Burr Martin, host of the Burr Martin Experience, Mr. Selfie Dad himself, has launched a new show that's been a smash hit for the network for all your parenting and nerd advice, as well as some other new projects in the works, which we will be talking about soon. And also, if you like what you hear, guys, you want to donate a couple bucks, go to patreon.com/pantspending. We do this for you every week at no charge, but you know, if you want us to upgrade, do a little you know, get some new stuff, maybe help me buy a new car, you can do that too. God, if we can buy me a new car. Nah, I don't need to do that. I just did that. I don't need another one. Go to Pants Pending or patreon.com/pantspending, though. You can do a one-time donation or subscribe. You do get exclusive content from all the creators on Pants Pending and their shows, videos, audio, behind-the-scenes stuff. It's fun and exciting. So I think there's some videos of me doing stand-up on there somewhere, too, that you can get. For like a dollar. Or go to YouTube and it's free. Whichever you want to do. But pay me. No. Anyway, so we're here with Michaela Daniels, filmmaker, writer, director, all kinds of stuff. You're just kind of a jack of all trades when it comes to movies. Also one of the hosts of Saturday Night Cinemas on KSPS. If you're in the local area of Spokane, that's Saturday nights on Channel 7. How's it going tonight?
Great. You know, little my energy tends to go down at this time of the night. All right. I'm used to getting up at 1 a.m. So,
oh, man.
You know, that's lovely.
That is a brutal schedule. How have you been doing that for?
I've been doing that for 5 years while going to college and raising 4 kids.
Wow.
So that's been great.
Jeez. Which one's the hardest job of all those things?
Oh, definitely parenting.
Definitely the parenting.
It's exhausting.
I like, oh God, getting up at one, like I go to sleep. I don't get a lot of sleep, but I go to bed at like 1:30 in the morning. I get up around 6. Humans were not made to like get up at 1:30.
No.
It's just like, cause what do you do? I mean, cause you can't be like, well, I'm going to get 8 hours of sleep. I'm going to go to bed at 4:30.
Yeah. It doesn't happen. And I have 4 sons. So like the only time I get a chance to nap is during sort of the daytime when they're at school.
Yeah.
If I don't have any appointments after work, if I don't have other things that, you know, I have to do, but most of the time I get like 3 or 4 hours of sleep a day. So,
jeez. Yeah. So, well, you seem like you're doing it well.
Yeah, you know, I'm not dead yet.
Figured it out. Yeah, just losing gray matter on the brain slowly every day.
I'm kind of actually sucking the souls of my children, and
sure.
That's where I get my youth and my energy from. That's what you have to do.
Yeah, you had 5, you ate one of their hearts to keep their get their youthful exuberance.
We don't talk about
No. Yeah. Or Chad. So, tell us about yourself. You do a lot of things. We've talked a couple times, and you do a lot of things. I want to know, you know, t- Tell us. Give us your long elevator pitch.
The long elevator.
If it's a 20-story building.
It's a 20-story building. So right now, and for the past 5 years, I've been editing video for KHQ and morning show, and we also do the Fox 28 morning show. So I edit all the video for the news shows. And then about a year ago, I auditioned and got the KSPS cinema gig, mm-hmm. which is really fun because I get to research films and write the scripts. And we write all of our own scripts and we do our, you know, promos. And I'm one of the strange film people who love being on camera. I started as an actress actually a couple years ago doing theater when I was like 31. I was like, hey, let's try acting. And, you know, I kind of got sucked into it. So I have no problem being on camera or talking to people, which is totally opposite of the majority of, you know, my friends who are in the film industry because they want nothing. Like if you're either behind the camera or you're in front of the camera, you're not both.
Not a lot of crossover there.
No. So because of that, you know, it does tend to make sure that I'm doing 8,000 completely different things at the same time. So, you know, I'm editing news footage, you know, I'm hosting the cinema show, I'm in my last semester of graduate school for my MFA in screenwriting, so I'm constantly writing scripts and research papers. In fact, one of the research essays that I wrote about a year and a half ago is going to be published in a new history of early women screenwriters in June, I believe. So our entire class, our entire graduate class actually got picked up for this book. And wow. It's really exciting to be able to, you know, talk about some of these early female screenwriters that we don't talk about. So I got my bachelor's in film out at Eastern, and you know, you do your Geckers for the first 2 years, and then the second 2 years, you know, it's all film. And not once did I learn about all these pioneering women of film. And in the early days of film, it really was the women who were the head of it. You know, you had Frances Marion and you had Alice Guy Blanche, and they were the powerhouses. And so to kind of flip that to the industry now, it's really bizarre. And the fact that we're not even talking about these women in classes, you know, in film programs is really sort of disheartening because, you know, we're kind of losing those stories. And that's really sad.
What were some of the things we would know them from? If you were, is there like a movie where you'd say or something that like you would be like, oh, yeah, everyone would know, like, you know, or everyone would know that movie or it's relatable?
Probably not, considering most people don't watch early silent films. I mean, women were really the head of it in the silent era.
Okay, so we're going that far back.
So, like, literally the beginning of cinema was women. And what happened is right around the introduction of sound is kind of where women started getting shoved out. And up until that point, you know, you had your highest paid directors were women. And yet now, you know, you look at the statistics and a woman can't get a major budget film no matter what she does, no matter how good she does at Sundance. And, and so we've really, you know, kind of slid back actually from where film began.
Why is that, do you think? Why do you think that the...
That's a loaded question.
Yeah. Well, but why is that? Because in an industry that's completely motivated by money, you know, 100% motivated, or 98.5% motivated by money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why is it that a woman, if she is creating a superior product, why aren't they getting those jobs? Why aren't they? You know why? Because I mean, to me, like, if I wanted someone to re-roof my house, I would just want the person who's going to do it the best, you know, like race, religion, gender wouldn't play into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it definitely plays into it in the industry. I mean, a lot. I have experienced outright misogyny on sets and everything. And, you know, actually even more in the film industry than I ever experienced in the military or some of the other sort of male dominated fields that I've previously worked in. I really think it's just this sort of, in a lot of cases, I think it's unconscious gender bias. And I think a lot of the producers and the old white guys and everybody who owns the studios and owns the money, they either tend to hire people they already know.
Sure.
Or if they're going to hire new blood, it's going to be somebody who reminds them of themselves.
It's familiar.
Yes. So, you know, they're not going to see themselves in a young female director in the same way that they're going to see, you know. And of course, it's sort of the same issue for people of color. I mean, they have it even worse in the industry. Women of color have you know, way less opportunities than even I have. So, you know, there's a lot to be done in the industry to kind of fix this, because women do really well in films and even female-led films. Look at Hidden Figures, you mm-hmm. know. I mean, the amount of money that brought in. But yet studios are still saying female-led films don't bring in a lot of money. And yet we're still kind of, we're proving that they do and that they can bring in, you know, even look back when The Hunger Games, that was a female-led film. Granted, it was based off a book series, which already had an audience, but it was an action film. And yet we didn't have women directing it. We didn't have, you know, it's like, oh, well, we can have female actresses, you know, sometimes in these roles, but, you know, God forbid a woman know how to direct an action film or a horror film, which is the genre that I particularly love.
Well, you know, I mean, Catherine Bigelow did direct Point Break. So, I mean, which they say is the last actual movie ever made, the last original movie ever made. So, you always have Catherine Bigelow in Point Blank. They are Point Break. I watched that movie the other night.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
It was part of childhood, growing up in a certain decade.
Right, yeah.
Keanu!
It's a pretty bad lines in that movie. It's early 90s.
Yeah.
So that's interesting though, and it's such a weird dynamic again. Like I said, that field dominated by money would be adverse to someone who could potentially make them more money, you know. And there's a lot of probably untapped markets out there. So what do you feel about Moonlight winning the Oscar for Best Picture? People have got to feel like that's a step in the right direction, then, or
you know, that was awesome. Honestly, we all, at least those of us who really kind of follow these types of trends, really thought La La Land.
Right, it was kind of everyone kind of thought it was clear cut winner, pretty obvious.
Right,
sure.
And La La Land was beautiful. Don't get me wrong, but Moonlight was a better story. I mm-hmm. mean, it really was a better film, and so to kind of. I mean, the whole fiasco of how it got announced was great and funny, but I think it was really nice to kind of see Moonlight come out of this sort of darkness and this hole where nobody ever thought it would win, and it did, and it well-deserved win.
I didn't see either.
yeah, me either.
I want to see both. I almost went and saw La La Land last night, and I didn't have time. I started doing some video editing myself and then just got swept away with it and never made it. So I do want to see both. I think the only movie I saw this year that I really, or this last year, that really, really struck me as a super good movie was Arrival.
Yes.
That was a fantastic movie. And people ask me how to describe it, as a film person, tell me if this description makes any sense to you. But I said, it's like Close Encounters of the Third Kind meets, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
I go, it doesn't make any sense when you think about it, but if you watch that movie, you'll see it come together.
Yeah, it was incredible. We actually just watched that one the other night because I can't see a lot of movies in theaters. I don't have a lot of time, but we just watched that one on DVD, and I think it was incredible what they did with the sound, and I think that's something that's often forgot in sort of modern movies is this attention to the sound design.
Sure.
And Arrival really showed what you can do with a really incredible sound design. And I think most of us, when we watched it, we felt it. We felt those vibrations, and we kind of felt this sort of magic along with the characters.
Right.
And that's what you want to do.
Well, you really get wrapped up into the linguistics, which is the base of the story. And you kind of, it was smart and thoughtful. It was well thought out and well, Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner, everyone was great in it. It was just really, when people think, oh, an alien movie. An alien movie. You're like, no, it's not just an alien movie. There's a lot happening.
Yeah, I think it's more philosophical
than
an alien movie, because that was my first thought. And I'm not big on, I love Alien, but I'm not really big on sort of the UFO and outer space stuff. But this one was really just, I think, more emotional than anything. I mean,
sure.
The film was just really kind of powerful in that way.
Yeah. So let's do this. I like film a lot. I'm really into movies. So I want to know what your favorite movie of all time is.
Well, a really good filmmaker would never have a favorite. But one of my favorites, because I love so many, was The Last Unicorn. So
Yeah,
so that one, you know, from the 70s, it was what I watched growing up. I grew up in Alaska in the middle of nowhere. We had two channels, which was PBS and NBC, so we didn't get a lot of television. And my grandmother had sent us up a VHS of The Last Unicorn, because she would occasionally, you know, send us up.
Right.
And really, it just kind of, that particular film really made me love film. In a way, it was just this really beautiful story, and not what you kind of think about animated, especially not then, with sort of this like darker
you know
tone and everything. But the movie, I loved it, and I watched it 8,000 times, and you know, to this day I still love those characters, and it's just, you know, such a beautiful story.
Yeah. Brandy, do you have a favorite movie?
I have like a tie.
Okay.
Jurassic Park, only the first one. The rest of them are terrible.
I knew that.
But I think it's because like I saw that movie like four, so you know, sure. It changes your life when you see something like that.
That is one of those movies though that stands the test of time.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. There's few movies like from that era especially that hold up.
Yeah.
Like you can't go back and watch Fifth Element and be like, this movie still rocks.
Yeah, no.
In my opinion anyway. Like I was never into that movie anyway, but like everyone from my well, we're all kind of around the same age. Like our era, like completely like, oh, that movie's fantastic. Yeah. Or this is a completely different direction type of movie. But, you know, I'm not sure how old you are, Michaela. I assume we're around the same age. I'm 34.
I'm older than you.
Older than I am. Okay. everyone in my era loves the movie Friday. And like, oh, it's so funny. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, it was funny when you were 13 and stoned. I go, watch it as an adult. I go, it's a piece of shit. The movie's terrible. I don't know where the jokes are. They're like, no, it's funny. I go, tell me where one joke is. Watch this. Sit down with us and watch this movie with me and tell me when you see it, when you hear a joke, you know, obviously it's not a masterfully filmed movie, but even if you just want to tell me it's funny.
Yeah.
But Jurassic Park totally is a movie that holds up.
I don't know a ton about filming. I've never done anything like that, but I don't know. I think that in Jurassic Park, they use less of like the computer and more like the T-Rex itself was like a giant puppet.
Sure.
And I thought that, I don't know, I think that's why it's held up so well. It still looks really cool.
I love practical effects over CGI. I am a huge fan of, the original Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
the real ones.
The real ones. Yeah. The only ones that matter. And I love the practical effects to me always looked better than anything you can do with CGI. You know, it stands up. I think it just looks better because it's almost the same thing when I watch some movies now in the, I like to go to the theater and watch movies. So I watch the movies and I'm like, the quality of the filming is so good that it looks better than real life.
Yeah.
And it bumps me and makes me know that I'm watching a movie. Like I don't like it. I'm like, it looks too good. Like I want it to be a little gritty because then I feel more tied to it. When I'm like, this looks better than me looking at you guys right now. Like my vision isn't as good as this. And it pulls me out of the movie, you know? So in the same thing with the CGI, when it's obvious CGI, but when you get those practical effects, you're like, oh, it makes you feel like it's real. They're in the same room. We're all in the same room, you know?
They're just more fun. I mean, I love working in the horror genre and big proponent of practical versus special. I mean, sometimes you have to use CGI, don't have a giant ass budget. And so, you have to do that. But I think a lot of things can be done with practicals that, you know, should be done. And, you know, we're really kind of moving away from that. I think CGI was the really big, and everyone got excited and everyone's using it. And how far can we push this? And then I think they really kind of left the whole practical effects behind. Yeah. And to the detriment, I think, of some productions. I mean, especially in horror and in some of these genres where having those practical effects, I mean, I don't know how many horror movies I've watched recently because I watch all of them. I watch the shitty ones. Yeah. I watch the good ones.
Yeah.
I'll watch all of them. I love the genre. But so many of them now are using so much CGI and it's horrible. Like it just looks like shit. And I'm like, I know you had a low budget, but you can do so many practical effects on a low ass budget.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
You can. I mean, it's called ingenuity. Right. And
I've
being
seen
poor.
Ghoulies. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen Ghoulies 3.
Yeah, okay. You know, you can do this. And I think that, you know, we are kind of losing. I think the industry, or maybe not the industry, and just filmmakers are really kind of losing, I think, some of the specialness of film. I think, you know, we are seeing a lot of reboots and a lot of, you know, old stories hashed up. And I'm like, I have like 8 original feature scripts, people, you know, like, but they're really kind of feels like we need a shake up. You know, I mean, we had some just really incredible films, you know, again this year. And another one that I really loved that I saw at the Austin Film Festival was Loving. And, you know, which was the story of this, you know, based on a true story of this interracial couple and how they had to fight, you know, to be married and everything. And I think that's very timely right now, even with, you know, sort of the things that we're going through, and mm-hmm. and to have, you know, these really incredibly well done films that were kind of, you know, kind of pushing certain things in our faces that needed to be pushed.
Yeah.
And I think that gives me hope that we're going to have more incredible films and not, you know, more like redone.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because this is one of the things that chaps my ass more than anything, is that, because as a writer myself, I love, like, I've written a bazillion things in my life, and it drives me nuts when it's like the aforementioned Point Break. It's like, that movie was made 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Do we need to remake a Point Break already? Like, you know, it's like, if a movie, if you notice, they only remake shitty movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't, no one's remaking Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
You know, like, no one's trying to remake a Hitchcock film,
right.
Because they fucking nailed it. Like, you don't need, you know, you don't need to remake shitty movies or good movies, I mean, you know. A remake to me is like an apology. It's like it's like a remaking a movie is like fruit in your beer. Fruit in your beer is an apology for shitty beer. It's like, this beer sucks. Have some lime, you know. Yeah. So this it's the same thing. It's like, yeah, we that movie was really bad. We're gonna remake it now for you, and hopefully it'll be, and then it's just bigger and faster. Like, we've made 12 Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
How many times do we have to go on that ride?
I'm just so tired of seeing the same movies. Like, you really do. You feel like you picked up, or you know, you're looking at the moving listings from like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and it's just like, what year are we in? Where are, you know, I know that there's original content out there. I think that studios maybe and networks, or maybe they're afraid, you know, afraid to take the risks and to, you know, kind of try some new things. But frankly, if you don't take risks in life, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
You know,
from someone who only, you know, I only see the trailers of what's going on, what's going to come out. It seems to me kind of like, if it's not Star Wars or a superhero movie, somehow tied to the Avengers or the Justice League, like, there's not really.
Which, don't get me wrong, I love those nerd movies, but that's a guilty pleasure. Like, I understand they're not great movies. It's just my inner child, like, if, you know, having a, like, you know, just own little personal orgasm in a movie form. But you know, there's so much potential for a good film out there. So much stuff that's overlooked.
Yeah.
Like, I see movies that, you know, are actually good movies that no one ever talks about. Right. And they're just, you know, and people always wonder why I shit on all these other movies. Like, cause they're terrible movies. Yeah. They're for dumb people.
Yeah,
I'm like, this is like, it's the like mass market music. Yeah. It's, you know, like, you just, I eat at McDonald's. I listen to Kanye West and I love Fast and Furious. Like, well, you're a dumb person.
Right. I fall in the demographic where, like, the only movies I see in theater is like children's movies. Like, I've seen Trolls and Finding Nemo and Finding Dory and all of them. Monster Truck.
Here's a fun one. Try as a 34-year-old single adult male to go see Finding Dory by yourself in the afternoon and not loon like a child molester.
At least I have a child with me.
Right. I had to buy like 2 tickets to be like, my kid's in the bathroom. He's coming. It's just me. I'm alone. I'm a lonely, lonely man. I hope that it'll come back around, but I think it's just like bigger, faster. Everyone just needs this. It's like this instant gratification thing. No one has the patience to, you know, in a 140 character Twitter world that we live in, no one has the patience to like catch subtle nuances and watch a film. They want like
this explodes, this this blows up, this jumps here, and there's some tits, and like, get the end. And you're like, all right, well, I guess they nailed all the points we wanted to hit, and here's a name, you know, and there you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe it starts at home, too, because, like, my kids are unusual, because, of course, you know, growing up in my house, like, they're used to, I think, like, all sorts of crazy film and stuff. So my twins are... Oh, crap, how old? They just had a birthday. So my twins are 12 right now. And one of them, he's a huge horror film buff, right? And he loves horror, and he's really into films, and he wants to be an actor. This kid, at 12 years old, I asked him something. I was like, why did you stop watching this movie or watching this series? And he said, because there wasn't enough character momentum. And I was like, oh, he got that from me. but at the same time, like, I noticed that my kids are actually watching some of these films that are actually really well written. Yeah. And they're watching these more sort of adult and kind of higher content films, because that's, you know, they're kind of used to it. They're used to me telling stories. And so they're subconsciously thinking and looking for, like, really great stories in films. So sometimes they'll watch films that you're like, what 12-year-old is like, right, watching this film? But yet they do it. And so they actually want it. And so maybe if enough of us parents teach our children to love really good stories and not just flash, bang, right, boom, maybe those kids will drive the market. You know, I mean, because it's all about the market. So yeah, if everybody's paying for these Fast and Furious, and they are, they're going to keep making them, as long as people are going to pay for it. So we have to change the sort of consumers before we can change the market.
Yeah. Well, I say everything now, it's like, and this isn't just movies, but everything now, it's all money shot, no foreplay. Yeah. Like, that's how everything is. So So what about, you like horror? You like horror is your favorite genre?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite horror film? What's your favorite scary movie?
I think my favorite horror film would actually have to be Night of the Living Dead. Okay. Just because, you know, I wrote a really long paper on it for film school once. You know, Romero. And
wait, like the original black and white?
Yes.
Okay. Which one, by the way, the time had a black lead, which was very uncommon.
Yes, it was. It was absolutely. I mean, we're talking the 60s, like.
I think it was made for that, even.
It was the early 60s when it was released.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I know this. Sorry. I can't remember the exact date because, you know, brain doesn't work so well at night. But the original Romero film, other than the fact that, yes, it was absolutely incredible. We had this black lead, and that was sort of a controversy at the time. What he also did is he really...
1968.
Oh, wow. Later in the 60s than I thought.
Way later than I would have thought, too. I would have put it way early, like 63.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I was thinking 63 too. I knew it was in the 60s.
Yeah.
But
maybe it's the black and white thing.
It must be. Because he didn't have to shoot. Like, I mean, we had color film.
That's what made me think, really. Yeah. Like, yeah, okay.
I know it does. It tends to, like, we date ourselves back to, like, pre-code. Yeah. Oh, black and white before color. But yeah, you know, it was a choice. And it was funny because when they decided to make this film, they said, what is, like, literally the scariest thing? Like, we want to write a horror film. Like, we want to write something that's super, super scary. And so they were just kind of, like, talking and around, and they're like, cannibals. Like, that's, like, you know, that hasn't really been, like, done in this really visceral way. And then so it kind of, like, morphed into this Living Dead. And, you know, that's really the basis for the zombie genre as we know it. And it really changed the horror genre because it kind of allowed for more violence. This is the first horror film that really kind of showed that violence. You know, we had the Hays Code before then, and so there were people when this was released vomiting, you know, in the theaters. Yeah. And you hear about that sometimes, you know, with the horror movies now, but I mean, if we watch this film now, we're like, what the hell were they right, freaked out the about?
Like, we watch The Walking Dead every right, Sunday night.
Right, yeah. And watch brains turn into soup. But what was also interesting is when the film was first released, it was actually the theaters ended up showing it as a matinee. So you had this horror zombie film being shown as a matinee right after the kids' cartoons. And so a lot of kids and young teenagers, they would still be in the theater and then they would watch this film. And I think it was Roger Ebert, when he went to review it, he was just like, you know, kids were like in here crying and like, you know, and it was just like this madhouse. And I'm like, man, I wish I would have been in the audience for this. Like, yeah. I wish I could have seen that reaction. But yeah, I mean, it really kind of, you know, started the horror genre in a different direction, really as we know it today, and really kind of inspired that whole sort of, you know, gore. I mean, granted, the gore level in that is not anything.
Right, compared to now. But at the time,
I mean, it was completely shocking. It was completely revolutionary, just in so many ways. So it was, you know, awesome.
All right, I got a couple more questions that I want to play a quick game, and then we'll let you go because I know you're tired. How about that?
Yeah.
What do you think is a wildly popular movie that is extremely overrated? And not a basic one. Like, obviously, you know, we talked about Fast and the Furious.
Right.
But a movie that's, like, critically revered.
Okay.
That you just watch and be like, this is...
Okay, so this is, like, an unpopular opinion, and it's an older movie, but everybody fucking loves this film, and it's got critically acclaimed, and I fucking hate it. And it's Forrest Gump.
Okay.
I agree. I'm interested now.
And like, you know, even my boyfriend, like, he loves the film and he just cannot understand it. I'm just like, I have nothing against Tom Hanks as an actor. I have nothing against the story. I just hate the fucking film. And I watched it. I watched the whole thing and I hated every second of it. And
okay.
And so every time I say that, people kind of look at me like I'm a heartless, cruel person. And right. I'm just like, I'm sorry. I just thought it was a shitty movie. Get into it.
Is it one of those things that, and I haven't seen this movie as an adult. Like, I watched it in my teens, like around the time it came out. I mean, probably last time I saw it, I was like 16 and maybe a little older, whatever. The point is, like, I don't remember getting a lot from it. Just like, okay, well, that's a movie. Is it, do you think people like it because it just hits all the points? It's like, hey, look, here's a little drama. Here's a little sadness. Here's a couple jokes. Like, and it's familiar stuff. It's like, there's nothing that's like great about it, obviously, but it hits all the things that are familiar to people. Like, hey, look, we've got, presidents, you know, we've got comedy, we've got kind of a love story, we've got kind of a sad thing, like, and you're like, oh, I know all those things all, like, you put them all together, you think it would work, but obviously it doesn't. There's no really like whole through line.
I think it was the right movie at the right time. I think if that movie came out today, I don't think audiences would sit for it. I really don't. I think that, you know, it happened to get released during a time where the market was right, the audiences, I guess, were, you know, looking for it at the time.
Sure.
But I'm pretty sure if that film came out today, like, people just could not sit through it. I mean, I couldn't sit through it.
Yeah. Let's do you have a favorite director?
No, because there's so many. Like, I can't even, you know, there's so many.
Do you have a director you think's extremely overrated?
Yeah, Michael Bay.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, of course, he's like the big joke, especially in film school. It's like, you're going to Michael Bay it. And,
yeah. It's always windy in his films.
Right, yeah.
It's always windy and the camera's always swirling around people.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I think one of the directors that I really like right now and have for a while is Del Toro. You know, his sort of fantasy and his mind is just fantastic, the way he creates these films. I'm just absolutely in love with every film that he directs, so it's, you know, he's definitely one of my favorites. But, you know, there's a lot of good directors. I wish I could list off a lot of female directors, but sadly there's not a lot. You know, of course, Diablo Cody, you know, Nora Ephron, you know, she did quite a bit with writing and stuff, and she's another one to where, like, I don't know if the things that she did would play now.
Yeah.
And you know, so I don't know, man. The market keeps changing and sort of audiences, what they want. And I think it changes a lot with political environment. I think that we're going to see in the next couple of years, or however long, I guess it depends on how fast they can get through a post. But I think in the next couple of years, we're going to see some really intense films. I think that we're going to see maybe another rise in horror films. I mean, when things are kind of horrible and calamitous outside, or, you know, in this sort of society that we live in, that's when horror films do the best. And so I kind of see perhaps a rising in that. And
be interesting.
You already saw The Purge is doing another one. I did make a joke before the election. I was like, oh, if Trump wins, it's going to be Purge 2017. And now I'm like not laughing. So
this could be a thing that happens.
Yeah, I you know, I'm a little concerned now that I put that idea out in the universe that it could actually happen. But I really do think that, you know, I mean, as we've seen with every, I mean, it's just, it's fucking insane.
Yeah.
I don't even know what world I'm living in. It doesn't feel like 2017. It doesn't feel like, you know, we just had lawmakers where a woman has to get her husband's approval to have a fucking abortion, or, you know, I mean, they're introducing these bills and I'm like, is this 1943?
We should just like pause the calendar. It should just be like the infinity symbol for a couple years, and then we'll like, we pick back up and we'll be like, it's like, it'll be like the fifth season of Dallas. We're like, no, it's just a dream. It's just, no, worry about that one.
You know, I keep hoping to wake up and it's not happening. I think it, you know, we are living in this like sort of really bizarre time that I don't remember living, I think, in such a politically charged time since 9/11, you know, and back then that I was actually pregnant with my first child when that happened. But that was different. That was, you know, terrorism coming to our home. So, of course, there was a lot of anxieties and fears around that. And then now we don't trust our home, or a lot of people don't feel safe here, but not from terrorists, but from the people and the government inside. And,
right.
and so it's a very different type of fear. But, you know, it is scary for a lot of people. You know, I know a lot of immigrant families and, you know, sort of the struggles that they're going through is, I mean, it's heartbreaking. Fortunately, we live in a state that we have a governor who is very progressive and understands that all people should be treated like people. And, you know, but still, you know, it's a little bit of a crazy time right now. And I think if I would have known this was coming, you know, I guess I've kind of thought about this, you know, having kids. It's like, if I were to get pregnant, or if I were thinking about having kids right now, I think I would have not, like, at this point. I mean, obviously I have kids and everything, but like, if I was thinking about like starting a family right now, I don't think I would.
Sure.
You know, I think I would like hold off and see if, you know, shit gets better, or if it like crashes in a fiery ball of flames.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I guess my kids will be okay because they're boys.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you know, they're white boys. They understand that they have privilege that, you know, some of their friends don't have. So, you know, and those are weird conversations to have with your little kids, too. I mean, like, we live in a day where I'm having these conversations with my kids. And, you know, I'm glad that they, you know, they love people. And, you know, their only sort of idea of what makes a good friend is, do you like the same shit that I like? I mean, that's like literally it for kids.
Right.
They don't care, you know, and that's great. And, you know, so I'm happy. And I know that a lot of the younger generation, you know, the one that's like behind us and, you know, like my kids and stuff, that they're definitely more open-minded as far as just, you know, understanding that people should just allow to be happy, you know, and you shouldn't infringe upon other people. Like, why are you so afraid of people who are different than you? Like, I actually had to, I normally don't do this on social media, but I actually had to block somebody that I had known for like 20 years, right? Like, I went to high school with this person. And other than the fact that he mansplained to me, which like pissed me the fuck off, don't mansplain to me, like I don't like it. Like, one of the things that he was saying, you know, he was like bashing like immigrant families and refugee families. And it just like broke my heart, because I'm like, you don't know these people. Like, I do. I know some of these families. Like, they're fucking human. And for you to sit there and just talk about them like they're things or something that doesn't matter, like that's horrible. And I was just like so upset by this person. I was like, I don't want to see anything he has to fucking say for the rest of my life. Like, you know, and I know that made me feel a little extreme, but at the same time, I was really pissed by the mansplaining too. Like, I was like, do you not know me? You've known me for like 20 years and you're gonna fucking mansplain some bullshit to me that you know I know more about than you.
Beauty of social media. Yeah. Brings us together and separates us all in one fell swoop.
All right.
Let's see. Well, I wanted to do, to close here, I want to do something fun. I pulled up a list of what is considered by Rotten Tomatoes the best movies of all time. And what I thought we'd do, to see how well you guys know movies, is I'm going to read the description, taking out names and things like that. And if you know what it is, chime in, and we will see who gets it first.
That's horrible. You better just like fake it. Just, like, pretend like you don't know. Let my brain cells catch up.
But well, Brandy said she doesn't know movies very well.
Yeah, so. I don't know movies very well.
We'll see.
So if you know it, just chime in and we'll get you going. Let's see here. Where is the? Does it not give you?
I wonder how accurate these descriptions are going to be.
Yeah, now I'm like, that's.
There were three people. Yeah. And they walked down a row.
And these movies are from all across time. So. Okay. This captivating wartime adventure of romance and intrigue, simply put, it is the story of a world-weary ex-freedom fighter who runs a nightclub during the early part.
Casablanca.
There you go. Casablanca.
I've seen that film like eight times.
Eight times. What do you think of Casablanca?
I like it. I mean, you know, it's a great.
I made it like 8 minutes in, and I give up.
Really, it's one of my favorite movies. Yeah, actually,
I love it. It definitely stands the test of time, yeah. Like forever.
Okay, next on the list, both a classic movie for kids and a remarkable portion of a childhood. It's a sci-fi adventure that captures a strange moment in youth when the world is a place of mysterious possibilities. Hold on, let me scroll over here. And the universe seems somehow separate from the one inhabited by grown-ups. A young boy living with his single mother, his older brother, and his younger sister.
E.T.?
Nailed it. Wow, E.T. Yeah. Look at that. Way to go.
I don't watch any of these, like, kid films.
That's where it's at.
Yeah, I know. See, yeah, you're all about the, you know, the animation stuff, too.
Okay. Let's see. God, some of these descriptions don't give you very good. It doesn't tell me a lot. Let's pick another one here. Sorry, this is T. Here's what we're going to do. Are you reading what I'm typing?
No, I'm not that guy. I can't read backwards.
I'm just kidding you.
I'm really just dazing off into space. Like.
Okay. God, these are the worst synopsis ever. A beautiful and kind-hearted princess charms every creature in the kingdom except one, her jealous stepmother.
Snow White.
There you go.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's another one of those animated.
Animated ones. Okay, let's go. Oh, here's one. Oh. All right. An innocent farm girl whisked out of her mundane earthbound existence into a land of pure imagination.
The Wizard of Oz.
There you go. Look at Brandy. God, Brandy's
stop it.
On.
You're making me
Brandy's,
look
Brandy's on.
I really like kids' movies.
Okay. I was going to say, why don't you pick something? You know?
These are all the top. These are like top.
Bullshit.
Okay, this.
That's true. I think most of the top rated ones are more family friendly.
Yeah, probably.
I'm like, ew, family friendly is horrible.
Let's see. In a futuristic city sharply divided between the working class and the city planners, the son of the city's mastermind falls in love with a working class prophet who predicts the coming of a savior to mediate their differences.
Prophet?
What year was this?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, this is going to give it away.
Oh.
No one?
I don't
Do you want
know.
The year?
Yeah, the year.
1927.
Wait, I'm sorry. West Side Story?
No, I don't know. Read the description again.
In a futuristic city sharply divided between the working class and the city planners, the son of the city's mastermind falls in love with a working class prophet who predicts the coming of a savior to mediate their differences.
I know, and I can't. Now that I know what year it is, and
I have no idea.
There's too many film titles in my head. This is the horror of being a grad student.
The movie is Metropolis.
Yeah,
I never would have got that.
Yeah, no, it's actually a really cool sci-fi. Yeah, but yeah, that's not a really awesome description of it though.
It's actually on Netflix right now. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go. So what do we got? We got Raina's got three, Mikhail's got one. This is a short description, but should be easy. Following the death of a publishing tycoon, news reporters scramble to discover the meaning of his final utterance.
I have no idea.
I was like, the only one with like a news tycoon I can even think of is like News Season. That's a musical, and I don't like musicals, and I don't know why.
Tycoon.
I don't think I've seen that film.
I don't think I've seen it either.
What movie?
I don't know.
That one.
Citizen Kane.
Oh. Well, if you would have talked about a wagon.
That wasn't
a very good description.
These are like the worst. Like, who did this? It's horrible.
Let's see.
Like that doesn't sound. I don't know.
Let's see. All right. We'll do a couple more here, and then we'll call it a wrap. We'll do two more to give you a chance to tie at least. The aging patriarch of an organized crime dynasty transfers control of his clandestine empire to his reluctant son. Godfather.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. I generally watch movies where people die.
That's
like horrific death. So, you know.
I like ones with a princess.
Only if the princess dies. Except for Princess Bride. But, you know, there is kind of death in that one. So.
I love that movie. I watch it on Christmas.
Let's see. Oh, this is a movie I just recently watched.
Which doesn't mean it's recent.
No, it does not mean it's recent. Wow. That's a terrible description. Okay. A detective investigates a killing of a woman found dead on her apartment floor before the movie starts. The movie builds a mental picture of the dead girl from the suspect whom he interviews. I'm sorry?
It's not Laura, is it?
Laura.
I just introduced that on KSPS Saturday Night Cinema.
That's
like
a great movie.
Weeks ago.
I've never even heard of it.
I was like, is he literally describing the movie that I just wrote about? Yes, you are.
Oh,
yes.
All right.
Great. So, yeah.
Okay, you're all tied up. We're going to do one more for the tiebreaker. Oh, let's see.
I'm just glad I got Laura. People would just, like, kill me if I wouldn't have gotten that one. I'm redeemed. I remember shit I write about.
All right. Okay. The storyline is 1927 Hollywood. Monumental Pictures' biggest stars, glamorous on-screen couple, Lena Lamont and Don Lockwood, are also an off-screen couple if the trade papers and gossips are to be believed. Both perpetuate the public perception if only to please their adoring fans and bring people into the movie theater. In reality, Dawn barely tolerates her, while Lena, despite thinking Dawn beneath her, simple-mindedly believes that she sees on screen in order to bolster her own stardom and sense of self-importance.
I can see it in my head.
I have no idea.
It was something that I recently watched, too, like within the last couple months, and I can't.
Any last guesses? The
movie
is Singing in the Rain.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Gonna go to one. One more here. One of you got to win here. It's the tiebreaker,
folks. Too much pressure for this time of day.
All right. An apocalyptic story set in the furthest reaches of our planet, in a stark desert landscape where humanity is broken and almost everyone is crazed, fighting for the necessities of life.
Mad Max?
Mad Max. Do you happen to... It is a Mad Max.
Fury Road.
Fury Road. God, see, it was Mad Max Fury Road. All right, we're going to call it a tie, folks.
Yeah.
That was a guy. You guys both nailed it. It was Mad Max Fury Road. Good game. Well-fought game. So, all right. Well, everyone, I think that is going to be it for this evening. Follow Michaela Daniels on Facebook, on her Facebook page, and on Twitter at...
On Twitter, I'm at Kapowchicks, KAPOWCHICKS. Also on Instagram, at Kapowchick. Don't ask me. That's just how that shit went. And just search my name on Facebook, and I have a public page that you can like. And hopefully when I have some new shit coming out soon, which I can't talk about, you'll find out.
That's right. So follow, find out, and also find her as one of the rotating hosts on Saturday Night Cinema on KSPS. That's Channel 7 if you're local in Spokane. Follow her, see what is coming out. All right, guys, as usual, or as I said earlier in the show, don't forget the dates coming up again. Drink and Debate, March 5th at the Spokane Comedy Club. I will be hosting that. Comedy Confessions at the Pin on Monday, March 6th. I'll just be there laughing. And on March 15th, the Spokane's first Comedy Underground mixtape album recording live at the Bartlett. Be there. 13 comics on hand. I will be there. I'll be on stage going up at some point during the evening. And then you're going to be able to buy that album later, too. So that's going to be an awesome project. Don't miss that one. $10. Tickets are limited. So go to the BartlettSpokane.com and buy your tickets now. All right, guys. Michaela, anything else? Last words?
No. I'm good.
Brandy?
I don't think so.
All right. And, of course, go to Facebook and go search Comedy Conservative and follow that page and check out what Brandy's got going on. She's got some new stuff coming, too, which... is going to be exciting. We're going to talk about
it's
soon.
It's a secret still. It's a secret. But it's coming.
There's so
in
many
March.
Secrets. I know. This is great podcasting.
Yeah, we can't tell you anything.
Come listen to us talk about things we can't talk about yet.
It'll be great.
Yeah. But it'll be awesome. Everything will be good. Follow and get all the news. All right, guys. So for the Social Hour, I am Deason. For Brandy and Michaela, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to reggae music. The Holocaust, bull riders, people at the fair, kids these days, all of my friends, the Fast and the Furious movies, drunk chicks at bars, Monica, and creepy uncles. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
Do you ever have one of those realizations where it's like, you might be a prostitute, but not in the sense that it's like, you know, I'll give you a blowjob for so many drinks at the bar, more of like, I'm terrified to go inside a government building, so I'll have a 6-month dysfunctional relationship with you if you'll buy my car tab.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!